So my name's Steve Hanna. I'm the co-chair of the Trusted Network Connect subgroup of the Trusted Computing Group. I'm also a distinguished engineer with Juniper Networks.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Steve. We're here at the Trusted Computing Group booth. Tell me a little bit about Trusted Computing Group and about the standards that they put together.
Sure. We're an industry consortium. We have about 135 members, all different vendors, people that you'd find all over the show floor here. I can't list all 135, obviously. We have a bunch of different standards that we've defined. Everything from our Trusted Platform module, which is a hardware security module included on a lot of PCs that ship today from a lot of system vendors, gives you a hardware security root of trust, greater security than you could just attain through software, all the way up through the stack, including standards for server security, for strong authentication using that hardware security module, and especially the Trusted Network Connect standards. That's where I spend most of my time, and that's where we've done a couple of announcements here at the show yesterday.
Where did the computing group start? How did it begin?
Well, it actually came out of an earlier organization, Trusted Computing Platform Association, and this group of vendors felt that there was a need for stronger security than could be provided with the existing technology, and trusted hardware would really help to address that, and felt that it was not enough just to have proprietary solutions, but that we really needed open standards for hardware security and for network security so that customers wouldn't be tied down to one vendor or another, and also so that it would encourage the development of security technology that builds on the more fundamental technologies that TCG standardizes.
Now, how many of TCG's standards, like say for hardware and also for software solutions, have been adapted by the industry? You talked about the one that's inside a lot of notebooks now and computers. What other kinds of things are out there?
Well, there's the Trusted Platform module I talked about. There's also a Trusted Software Stack that runs on top of that TPM. And then there's the Trusted Network Connect. That's pretty cool technology that we're focusing on here at the show, obviously, with networking being a focus. The basic concept is an open standards approach to network access control. So you want to check the health or the integrity of a machine before you let it on the network and periodically thereafter. That way you can say, this machine is not compliant with our network policies, so we're going to quarantine it. And we're going to fix it, we're going to remediate it, and then maybe we'll give it access to the network. That's the Trusted Network Connect architecture in a nutshell, and it's been quite widely adopted. A year ago, we introduced the architecture at Interop last May, and we had two standards available then. Monday, we introduced three new standards, which pretty much fills out the architecture, and we've got a lot of demos here at the booth of vendors who've actually implemented those standards and shipping those products that implement those standards today for customers.
If listeners want to find out a little bit more about the Trusted Computing Group and about, say, some of the vendors that you work with, where would they go on the web?
The best place to go is to our website. That's www.trustedcomputinggroup.org. And there you can find copies of all of our specifications. They're totally open, free for anyone to implement. You can also find a list of vendors that have implemented those specifications. You can find white papers and links to articles and press releases. Lots of background information there.
Okay. I've been speaking today with Steve Hanna, who is with the Trusted Computing Group, and also tell me about the Juniper connection again.
I'm a distinguished engineer at Juniper Networks. They send me my paycheck. The rest of it's sort of a volunteer effort.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking with you today about TCG, and I hope that folks will check out the site again, trustedcomputinggroup.org. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and I am here with two old friends, Peter Newton, who is the Senior Product Manager for Netgear, and Vivek Chuk, who is Product Manager at Netgear. Welcome both of you to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you back again.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, tell me a little bit. We're here on the floor of Interop 2006. What are we showing here today? Peter, we'll begin with you. We're talking about, we've talked before about switches, so
certainly,
you're the switch person.
Well, we talked last time about our stackable smart switches. So we are obviously showing them here on the floor, educating a whole new group of customers. And the reception on those has really been quite positive. People are really seeing that how this is the first managed switch that's really designed for the SMB customer, for that 40 to 140 person customer. So people are really, those that once they hear about it, they're really excited about it. But that's as I say, old news. The new products that we're showing that are getting a lot of excitement is, as Vivek will tell you a little bit more about it later, we have a new SSL VPN appliance that's getting a lot of buzz. And on the switch side, we've got some new Layer 3 stackable gigabit switches that have four 10-gig bays on them. So this is the most flexible solution out there at that level, and it's really the best investment for a company looking to add gigabit to their network, because they can buy these things at a great low entry point with none of the 10-gig bays populated. And then as they want, they can then either stack them up using stacking modules and only burn two of the bays on each box and still have two 10-gig bays left over, so they can get 10-gig out of that stack of gigabit. Because as you know, putting gigabit to the desktop, you end up with a lot of bandwidth you want to backhaul back to a core switch or to another area. So these switches are the best investment a small company can make when they're moving up to gigabit and getting those 10-gig links.
What about manageability? Is this, again, I know we had talked before about how these things are pretty easily managed. Can these be managed from anywhere?
Oh, yeah, certainly. All of our managed products are accessible anywhere to manage them. In our smart switch family, those are the focused on the smaller customers. The Layer 3 gigabit stackables I just mentioned, they're focused on our larger SMB customers, so they have the full Layer 3 management on there. Still easy to use, because that's what we focus on, but a full feature set.
Okay. Now, Vivek, let's check in with you.
Yes, you what did you have for lunch today,
Mike? That's my line.
I'm stealing his line.
Now, tell me a little bit about what you're showing today here.
I'm showing, we've announced an SSL VPN box. It's the SSL VPN Concentrator 25. The model number is SSL 312. It's a 25-tunnel SSL VPN solution for the small and medium business market, for the SMB market. The primary advantage and the reason why we decided to get into this market was because we essentially want an easy and reliable way for our customers to get remote access to their corporate resources. And we figured that SSL VPNs do provide that level of functionality. What we have done with this box is that that customers now have the ability to securely access their resources using standard browsers. So you don't need to spend extra money on a client on your laptop or on your mobile device to get remote access to your resources.
Now, what's the cost per user in something like this? If someone were not to use a solution like this?
If someone were not to use a solution like this, we have traditionally found, based upon analyst briefings and what the market says, the cost is $100 to $300 per user to support them with remote access to their corporate network. This eliminates the cost on a per-user basis, because now you just need to use a standard browser to get that access, that level of access. And therefore, your flexibility to access your corporate resources just expands dramatically. You can get access to your resources from a kiosk, from a laptop, from your PDA. It provides you anytime, anywhere access. And then, of course, because our focus is SMB and we want to make our products easy and reliable and cost-effective, this is perhaps one of the most aggressively priced 25-tunnel SSL VPN solutions in the market. It's priced at $545 list price.
So for the cost of basically two users with another solution without it, this you can support up to 25.
25 concurrent sessions, absolutely. And it comes in a really nice form factor. It's all hardware-based. There are no moving parts. There's no hard drive, nothing. It's all on the PCB. So we have specifically designed this for the SMB market.
It sounds like, the way Netgear works a lot of times, it's kind of plug and play with a lot of these. I think it's been the great thing about working with Netgear from personal experience So so it's great to have you guys on the podcast. If someone would like to find out more about the products, Peter, why don't you mention the switch name again?
The switches, I mentioned the stackable smart switches, as well as our layer 3 gigabit stackable switches. So two different switch families there.
All right. And Vivek, why don't you mention the name of the
product?
Of the product.
Yeah. SSL VPN Concentrator 25. The model number is SSL312, and it will be available in Q3 across the country.
And, of course, you can find more information on all these products at our website, www.netgear.com.
You guys know the stuff too well now. You're doing my job for me.
Well, it's good to talk to you again.
All right. I've been speaking today with Peter Newton, who is the Senior Product Line Manager at Netgear, and also with Vivek Chug, who always keeps me in check, who is the Product Line Manager at Netgear. It's great to have you both on the podcast and see you all again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you
for having us. This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson here on the floor of Interop 2006 in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here with Lawrence Bird, who is the Marketing Director of IP Telephony for Avaya. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Avaya's involvement in Interop?
Yeah, Interop is a great show because it builds a real network that, with many vendors and all things connected, showing interoperability. Avaya is providing the IP telephony solution that runs over that network. We're also providing a lot of our IP telephony level monitoring tools that help manage the network and see that it's working correctly. We're also working with our partners to bring communications into the building over networks, so there's SIP connectivity instead of traditional connectivity coming into the building.
Now, Avaya is involved in a lot of, is it 90% of the Fortune 500 companies? Was that the figure?
90% of the Fortune 500 companies have Avaya solutions. We are a five-year-old company with 130 years of history. We descended from AT&T and Lucent and Bell Labs. We have over 1 million customers worldwide. So from the very largest to the very smallest company, we're completely focused on enterprise communications and are a leader in IP telephony.
Now, what does it take? I mean, that's a lot of history, and also, what does it take to sort of get Avaya to this point? I mean, what did it take to get Avaya to this point? Because that's a lot of ground to cover in that short of time. I mean, albeit you had a lot of force and momentum of technology behind you, but tell me about what happened in the last 3 years.
I think over the last 3 to 5 years, we became a separate company in 2000. We have been very focused on new IP solutions, on delivering IP telephony, but on delivering the core values we've had for a long time of reliability and survivability, scalability and security. So really making sure that as we move telephony to this new network foundation, we provide those, you know, core capabilities that people require.
It's kind of interesting. You've got the fascinating perspective of building, you know, networking and managing the whole thing all in one place there.
Yes, 50% of Avaya's business is services. And as you look at the move to from TDM to IP, there's a lot more moving parts. You have networks, you have applications, you have distributed organizations. We feel customers need help in this transition.
If there is a business person who's out there right now listening, perhaps at the enterprise level, perhaps at the small business level, they're interested in finding out more about Avaya, where can they go?
Well, the obvious place is www.avaya.com, and then you can go from there to finding out how to call us. You can see demos and videos and download papers. That would be the right place to start.
Okay, why don't we spell Avaya?
Avaya is spelled A-V-A-Y-A, www.avaya.com. So as you can see here, Michael, which perhaps our listeners can't see, we're seeing football players or soccer players, as they call in here in the States. Avaya is the sponsor for Converged Communications for the FIFA World Cup, which will be kicking off on June 9th. And you see a lot of excitement around football or soccer here in the booth. And we are a provider of the networking for which we'll carry some 15 trillion bytes of data in the 30 days of the World Cup. So that'll be interesting. And I'm sure many of the listeners will be watching to see their country or team win.
15 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. I've been speaking today with Lawrence Bird, who is the Marketing Director for IP Telephony for Avaya. It's been great having you on the podcast, and it sounds like a fascinating area to be in, certainly a fascinating technology to be involved in right now.
Thank you very much.
Interop Las Vegas 2006.